Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real. How are you today? I hope everything is going well. I'm feeling good. I hope you're feeling good too. I know it's a little cold and windy today, so grab a blanket, grab your headphones, and just sit by your radio or your computer or whatever device you have, your phone, and just sit back, relax, and just listen to the conversation that I'm going to have today and enjoy it. Today's conversation is going to be about the farmer's market and why you should go. So make sure you tune in because it's going to be a really good show. You're listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, I'm sorry, we're having a bit of technical difficulties, and just please be patient with me, and we'll get things fixed here in just a moment. Okay. You know, with technology, sometimes you have technical difficulties, and I'm definitely having one of those today. So please be patient, and we will get these fixed in just a moment. No matter how many times you do a pre-test, technology can just bite you in the butt. And now we're up and running again. All right. Thank you for holding, and welcome back to Get Deep and Keep It Real. And today we have a guest from Raleigh, North Carolina, two guests, in fact, who are going to be speaking to us on the benefits of why you should be shopping at a farmer's market. Hello. Thank you for calling in to Get Deep and Keep It Real. I apologize for the technical difficulties we were having today, but we got them all fixed, and now we're back up and on the air.
Okay.
Can you guys hear me okay?
I hear you loud.
I can hear you.
Okay, great. So this is Tiffany Camilla, and once again, thank you for joining me today. And who do I have on the line with me? I have Demetrius, and is it Anita?
Anita Woodbury, yes.
Anita, thank you for joining us today. So I would like for the two of you to discuss your wonderful project that you have going on there in Raleigh, which is a mobile farmer's market, which I just thought was a very ingenious idea. When I saw that, I was like, wow, more communities need a program like that. And so I would like for the two of you to tell us how you came up with that idea.
Well, initially it started about 35 years ago. My father, Zeb Hunter, he actually had a mobile unit in 1979. He served low-income and senior citizens across Raleigh, North Carolina. It wasn't defined as a food desert at that time, but he basically served the Housing Authority projects here and, again, also senior citizens. So that's where it initially started.
Yeah, so for me, I'm from Oakland, California, and I do the operations managing, but my great-grandmother farmed and did that when she moved to Oakland as well, and I helped her with those things. So that was my experience as a kid with food and growing food.
Right, okay. So now a lot of my listeners may not exactly know what a food desert is. In fact, I myself personally did not know what one was until I moved to New Orleans. And realized that there were not many local markets within a walkable distance or even within a 3-mile radius of where I lived. And I thought it was strange, but I didn't think it was a big deal until I saw a lot of the work that the two of you were doing. And so can you tell us more about that?
Well, I'll give you my – go ahead, Anita. You can go.
Well, from when I've been doing the research, I saw that it's actually an even shorter distance. It's a food desert is within a 1 mile radius if you don't have any fresh, accessible food. So in Raleigh, North Carolina, they closed two Kroger's within Southeast Raleigh. So people don't have a grocery store near them. And when we're out there, I mean, it takes about 30 to 45 minutes round trip in a car to get to a grocery store. And if you're on the bus, just double that up, depending on whatever the schedule is. And then Demetrius.
Wow. Yes. And also, the USDA has defined and termed it for urban areas such as New Orleans and Raleigh, North Carolina. It would be a 1 mile radius, like Anita said. And then if you're in a rural setting, it would be 10 mile radius. If the grocery store is not in those areas, then you would be defined or zoned food desert.
So what is the government or what are we as local citizens supposed to do when we're defined as a food desert?
Well, there's a lot of the initiatives taking place, like such as ours, that are underway. What also is going on in the legislators, you know, make sure that your legislators are fighting for, you know, more food access. We were at the Food Desert Committee here in Raleigh, North Carolina. I think it was March 24th. We basically spoke about what we are doing in the community to help alleviate the food desert crisis here, and there were many others at the table. Senators also were in, you know, favor of having more access to fresh foods, and that's what we're doing here in North Carolina. So make sure that you're – go ahead.
Go ahead, Demetrius. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I was just going to say just make sure if, in New Orleans that you're touching base with your senators, addressing these issues, finding out, you know, if there's any community gardens around, what are the next steps to having a grocery store, those type of things that need to be in place. Going to your senators, you need to ask those questions.
And a lot of places are starting co-ops and things like that, but, you know, those projects take a lot of money and a lot of time. So for us, you know, doing the mobile unit, and since Demetrius's dad already had that refined, is – an immediate answer to it where you don't have to wait for that grocery store to open in 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now or that co-op because, you know, people have to eat now.
Yes,
not
right.
When all of that comes away, yeah.
And a lot of people may not truly understand why this is truly a problem. And I know personally why I think it's a problem. I feel like, you know, if you don't have a local grocery store near you where you can get fresh fruits and vegetables and, you know, fresh meat, then you're going to be eating a lot of junk food and processed foods and fast food. And for me, that's why I'm an advocate for having mobile farmers markets and farmers markets and grocery stores in a more convenient area. And what about yourself?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree, too. I think local food is important to sustainability because when you're eating local foods, it does not have preservatives. You're eating the most healthiest foods that you can imagine, and that's what we try to provide. We try to make sure that our foods are as local as possible so there's no pesticides, no wax on the foods to be transported to last longer and those type of things, which cause cancer. Are not in our foods. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's important to eat local, and we strive for that.
And also the health disparities that go along with that, from eating processed foods and everything, you know, obesity, high blood pressure, diabetes, all these things are enacted from eating all this white flour, all of these. So a lot of people don't see it. But once you understand the comorbidities like the breast cancers and all these other health issues that go along with it, and then you really step back and look at your community, look at how people are being affected, how their bodies are changing, the illnesses they're having, it's at that moment that you say, okay, we have a crisis going on here. But usually we don't see it, especially in our communities. I initially thought, you know, wow, you know, the bigger you are, the better. You know, you'll be a fine woman. But Demetra didn't think that. This was my thinking. But as I do the research, you know, we aim, not everybody, but I aim to have that physique. And then I notice, oh, that's not healthy. So then when you step back and look at the community, you're like, oh, we have it all backwards. We're not really looking at it, and we're not having the physical fitness or the physical activity to keep up with burning those type of foods.
Mm-hmm.
So they just sit there dormant and create issues and, you know, shorten our lifespan.
Right, exactly. And I know one thing that I was really having a problem with here in New Orleans that I'm trying to figure out how to solve is that you may go into a grocery store and see, you know, certain produce that clearly are about to go bad or just they're ready to be eaten, like, today. And they're still full price. And it's like, really? I'm going to have to pay, you know, full price for this product that is clearly ready to be eaten or thrown out in the next day or two. And, you know, I have approached, and especially I have to admit that I've lived all over the world, and so I have this thing for certain varieties of fruits and vegetables that are from overseas. And so, of course, those are going to be priced higher than, you know, more locally produced vegetables and fruits. And so, you know, because they're not that popular, of course, they probably tend to turn, you know, they're ready to be eaten and people aren't buying them. And you try to approach management about, hey, can I get a discount because they're about to be thrown away? And you ask them, they're like, no. And they tell you, they throw them away. And some of the places here don't even, like, donate to, like, a soup kitchen or anything like that. And I thought that was just horrible that we're throwing away millions of dollars worth of food every single day just from the grocery store, not alone from what we as individual consumers throw away, but just in the markets themselves. So I was wondering if you guys could speak on that or if you have any knowledge about that.
Yes, I know when I was working in retail at a bookstore, which is not food, but it's food for the brain, they would strip books and throw them out. I mean, tons and tons of books because, you know, the publisher wasn't going to carry it anymore or whatever. And then eventually what I did is got them to give the books to programs, even though the cover was stripped off, but at least let someone get the books to take advantage of those children and things. So when we see those and kind of things happening in the community, that's when we step up and create some type of program to take that off of their hands. So there are programs out there in Raleigh, North Carolina, that will take foods that are about to expire and redistribute them out to the community for people to eat. We decided not to take that route because we want people to get the best food, even though they're in low-wealth areas. We wanted to make sure that they, you know, have a sweet potato that was just pulled from the earth 12 hours ago.
Right.
So they can know what that experience is like versus something that's almost on its way out of here and you really don't want to eat it anyway because of the way it looks.
Exactly.
So we took that approach, although there are other places that are taking Demetrius, is it called like second run food or?
Yes, second run food. And what I've been doing, I've worked with another local nonprofit that has taken advocacy on trying to ensure that food waste is not accepted here. So they've been a coalition with farmers, grocery stores, and food banks across three counties here in the North Carolina. And what we've been doing is surveying churches and other places that may have a food pantry and asking how we can connect resources together to ensure that the food waste is not happening here. Basically it's coming along well because the churches now can go to the grocery stores and ask, you know, if you're not going to, sell that produce, please donate it to us. The food bank now go to the church and say, hey, we have this amount of stuff here. Do you want to come pick it up? So it's, building that resource, finding a mentor in your community that can make sure that this does not happen. Engage in, talking with the grocery store managers and trying to build a resource guide for, food pantries and farmers to connect with each other. It's very important.
And like Demetri said, too, I'm connecting with the local government to let them know that this is even an issue because a lot of people don't know it's an issue. And so bringing that attention, you'll be surprised at the programs that are in your community that already have things set up that can help facilitate lessening the food waste.
Okay. Wow. I thank you for that because I just kept saying to myself, there must be something that can be done and, just trying to find out ways to publicize this issue more because, as you said, a lot of people do not realize how much food is thrown away in this country just from retailers and grocers, let alone from restaurants and us as individuals. And I will say, from what I can tell living here in New Orleans, it seems like the restaurants do try to reach out and redistribute things and don't throw away as much as other places just because, I guess, of the way this community is set up. But I think more needs to be done and more publicity needs to be on the matter. But speaking of more publicity, let's talk about your mobile market. And why do people need to visit a farmer's market anyway, let alone a mobile market?
I can speak on one thing is it's very important to understand that the market is there to serve you. The mobile market is there to serve you. So we ask, what are your needs? What do you like? We also have an educational piece. So you will not get that in a grocery store. Anita is very much in making sure that she educates people when they come to the market and let them know what's high in vitamin C, what's good to do cleansing, talk about food recipes. We partner with universities here in North Carolina so that we can create educational pieces. It's just a good way to, step out there, outreach in the community, and make sure that people have an opportunity to find out what's the most healthiest foods that they can eat. So that's what I get out of, what the mobile market means here for us.
I'm
sorry, go ahead, Anita.
Oh, I was saying that I agree with that. I mean, when he was talking about the non-traditional education, when I go into a grocery store and I ask them about foods, a lot of people, they don't know what the foods are, and they can't relate to me on the level I want to be related on. So we have all walks of life, and by me having the journalism training and also doing the theater where I mostly use my great-grandmother's voice that I grew up with who lived to be 100 years old, and she'll do the education. So she'll tell them this is an eggplant, and this here has a lot of good vitamins in it for your baby. Now, I want you to take this and put it in the oven and then put whatever you like on top of it. You tell Grandma what you think next week, all right? And it's amazing. They will try it.
Awesome.
I
love that.
I mean, where do you get that? And a lot of folks are sick and shut in, or they don't have much interaction, but with the people they live by, And so we're able to come right into their home by their bedside while they're on the oxygen machine, you know, take their food stamp card and have grandma say a couple of encouraging words. And we know that they say laughter is healing as well. So we're offering something that, you know, you don't have to pay $10 to go to a theater or, you know, pay to get to the grocery store, try to make sure your wheelchair is charged up enough to get, you know, 25 minutes there and 25 minutes back from the grocery store.
Right.
And,
wow.
You know, a lot, there's no sidewalks in a lot of places, so what are you going to do, ride alongside an SUV going 5 miles per hour and they're going 50? It makes no sense. So
right.
Something has to be done about that.
Now, I think I heard you say something about a food stamp card. So basically, your mobile market, you take cash, food stamp cards,
credit card, debit card.
Great.
We take-
so basically, no one can have an excuse as to why they can't get some
exactly.
produce from your market.
So true.
That's wonderful. That's
yes.
True.
Yes.
And,
everybody
you know,
needs it. Go ahead, Dimitri.
I was just going to say, we also, our main priority is to sell affordable fresh foods to our community, but our second priority is to educate. So we have another umbrella, which is raindownus.org, which Anita does theatrical skits, and she does plays to address these comorbidities such as high blood pressure, breast cancer, diabetes. So we are operating in several different aspects of health and nutrition. So that's another thing that we do on the mobile market.
Wow, that's just very inspirational. I didn't know when I was getting into this conversation that you guys had such a wide umbrella. I think that is just awesome because that's really something that the Black African American community and is really missing. And
yeah.
I think that's really wonderful. Because I just know for myself personally, sometimes I'm just in the grocery store buying ginger, and
mm-hmm.
I may have an elderly person come up and say, baby, what are you going to do with that? And
yeah.
There have been times that I'm in the grocery store like 30 minutes just educating people
yeah.
on things that I may do with a certain vegetable or a certain fruit and just expanding their knowledge on a particular fruit or vegetable, and even just taking their old favorites like turnip greens, collard greens, and telling them other ways that they can consume those vegetables without as much fat.
Yes.
We agree totally on that. We're working right now. We know our people love pork, which we're not totally against it, but we want to make sure that they have other options and know that smoked turkey is just good. It's not as fattening as smoked, you know, cured ham hocks or fatback.
Right.
It's not as fat as that. And you can use that smoked turkey and have a great taste in your collard greens and your turnip salad. You know, we want to make
exactly.
sure that we address it. So, yeah, that's something that's very important.
Yeah, one of our customers is her 70s, she texted Demetrius, and she was talking about how much she loves the smoked turkey now, and she gets that more than she will the ham hocks now.
Hmm.
So, you know, creating that awareness, she's in her 70s, never had smoked turkey, and she tried
right.
it and loved it. So that made us feel good that, you know, here's somebody that can make a healthier choice because now she's aware that one's available.
Right. Right. Now, we have about 5 minutes left, and another thing that I wanted to maybe discuss with the two of you is I know here in New Orleans there's a local butcher that's pretty close to me as far as where I live, and they have partnered with a local farmer's market here, and so they give, like, little boxes where you can go in to the local farmer's market and order a box of meat that's come from the butcher, which has gotten it locally from the farms here in Louisiana. So
yes.
you're getting a fresher cut of meat that hasn't been processed, that haven't been exposed to these animals eating all these different pesticides and going through this, you know, big plant. And
mm-hmm.
I was wondering if North Carolina has anything similar.
Yes, they do, and that's where our meat come from. I haven't heard of a butcher working with the farmer's market. I know there are farmers that come up from their farms and sell at the farmer's market, but what we've done is we go to the country every week, and we tell them the day before what we want, and then they butcher that particular meat and package it for us because we're licensed poultry handlers. So our oxtails, you know, they were alive and everything thriving the day before. So, you know, it's extremely fresh. The sausage, the turkey necks, everything is extremely fresh, and we go and you see the animals on the farm. I mean, they're right there, but we go out because Demetrius's dad had connections with people over those years, those farmers and those families, and we're able to do what you're talking about where it's fresh, where it says water and oxtails.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing else to support. Demetrius.
Yeah, I was just agreeing with you on that and just saying that, I guess, that you're speaking about, but we go to various farmers. We have a whole lot of different variety on our truck. So a lot of these people, they may have two or three, you know, options of vegetables in a box, and, you know, they'll sell that to you for $20 a week or whatever. But in our situation, we have a prepackaged order. We could have 30 items on our truck, and you can choose at whatever menu of, you know, selected off our website or what you want. And, you know, you can get the same option, including the meat. So we're that you're speaking of.
And if you don't see what you want, you can call us ahead of time, and we're able to get that when we go back to the market or go to the different farmers.
Wow. You two are just true visionaries. You're making me so excited. I'm ready to move back to North Carolina and just, you know, do some promotions for you guys. This is just awesome. And I'm really hoping I can, you know, connect with some people here in New Orleans and try to maybe get something similar, you know, going on. I think this is great.
New Orleans is our second home, and we have a couple of people that we care about dearly, Sula and Katrina. You know, those guys down there, we love them. And, you know, we just, you know, ready to come back and do a show. She, you know, Anita did a show at the NCORE, the National Education of Race and Ethnicity. She did a show down there, and we're ready to come back. So, you know, keep an eye out, you know, for us so we can come back down there and pay a visit.
Okay, sounds great. Now, outside of North Carolina, outside of New Orleans, if I'm in South Carolina, if I'm in New Jersey, if I'm in Missouri, what can I do as a local consumer or a person to advocate to find some more farmers markets or get a program such as yours up and running in my community?
Well, I would check around, you know, with the, first of all, the farmers. You know, you would have to get you a vehicle of some sort. Check around with the different farmers and see what you can gather and collect, or find a food hub and see if they have a variety of things that you can buy and purchase. You know, get your license, your business license, or however you want to, you know, create your entity and, you know, come out and start marketing to your customers that can't get out, you know, who are bedridden or who are wheelchair-bound. Those people need fresh foods. Low-income people who ride the bus, you know, 5 to 10 miles, you know, and carry 20 bags at a time of groceries just to, you know, have fresh foods on their table. Those are the people I market to, because they would be the first ones to love and enjoy having you bring fresh foods to the community.
Yes, I would say that, and also find somebody that's well-connected in the community to work with, because we don't just eat anybody's food in this culture. So we need to know that it's coming from good people and it's clean, so you find people that are connected.
Right.
And be safe. when you're in the communities, because, you know, some of these communities could be a bit rough, and if you don't know people in the community, you know, that may be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, definitely. Now, the two things that I want to get to before we have to end the show is just I wanted to point out why a farmer's market versus the grocery store. I mean, I think we touched on it a little bit, but I guess I want to just, you know, really emphasize why a farmer's market is a little bit better than the grocery store.
Well, at the farmer's market, you know, it's fresh. Like for me, I bake the sweet potato pies, and they haven't been out of the ground more than 24 hours when I get them, which means I don't need to use as much sugar, and it's extremely tasty. So if you want foods that still, to me, have a heartbeat to them, you know, the water's still pumping through them as if they're in the ground, then you go to the farmer's market. However, you go to the grocery store, like you said, the foods might not be as, they might be on their way out. So I'm thinking of a farmer's market as living foods versus the grocery store where, you know, the foods are on life support. They're spraying them, you know,
right,
trying to do whatever they can do to get it out of it. But farmer's market, it's not like that. Go ahead, Demetrius.
Yeah, I was going to say the foods travel, you know, a lot of times if they're not local, they're traveling thousands of miles to get to where you're located. So it's already been in its, you know, box for about, what, 2 weeks maybe? And, you know, you get that food there. They're spraying it for weeks to make it look like it's still fresh with water. So you're losing nutrients. So that's my way of saying, you know, the local farmers are having fresh foods that are edible and they're the freshest that they can be. You can't get anything better than buying local.
Yeah,
now,
you're
is it more cost-effective? I'm sorry.
It depends what you're buying. I mean, if you're buying organic, you know, sometimes it can be more expensive in the grocery store. I know sometimes when I walk in the grocery store, I'm not paying that much for that. I can go to the farmer's market for that. So it depends, but what it does is it also, I would say it's cost effective in the way of shopping at the farmer's market with a thumbs up, because it is also reducing your carbon footprint. I mean, you're not driving from this store to that store to this one to get the different items.
Right.
You're getting it all in one. You're just walking down the road, getting a little exercise. So for that alone, I think it's good, especially for the environment.
Right, right. And just in the last minute that we have left here or so, just I want you guys to plug your business, promote yourself.
Okay, well, go to grocersonwheels.com, read about the history of what we do, read about our great hoop cheese and sweet potato pies and fresh meats. You know, you can go there. You can also go to raindownus.org and check out our health initiatives about breast cancer and HIV. It may be something you're interested in having us come and do. And join us on Facebook, Facebook/grocers, and also on Twitter, The Mobile Grocer. So at The Mobile Grocer on Twitter, and follow us, be a part of what we're doing. We're applying for grants and everything, so the support that you can give sometimes might just be clicking like on something. So we really want you to be a part of that movement and follow us and be there with us and support us in whatever way you can, even if it's just with your energy.
Yes.
Wow.
And the pies that Anita bakes, the sweet potato pies, are freshly baked, and you can order them across country. So
see, don't say that, because I will be, as much as I do not like to bake, I love to cook, but I am not a baker, and I'm always dying. I'm like, man, I miss my grandmother and my mother. Bless her soul, she just does not bake. I'm the cook in the family, so I miss having some, like, Southern-style, North Carolina-style sweet potato pie and, like, pound cakes. So don't put that out there, because I'll have a list long, a mile long.
All they have to do is call 919-796-4776, place the order. We get it going, and they're fresh and good. And we also make the diabetic alternative, so you can have stevia, which is a natural sugar, or Splenda, which is artificial for people that can't have regular sugar, but they've been tested by folks, and everybody loves every version of the pie. And
wow. That's awesome. Put that phone number out one more time in case they miss it.
Okay, 919-796-4776.
That's awesome. I want to thank both of you for joining me today on Get Deep and Keep It Real. This has been a fun, educational, inspiring conversation today, and I hope my listeners have and will enjoy it because this is a podcast as well and recorded. I hope they will enjoy it as much as I have and reach out to you and support your business because I think it is something that I can just see, you know, mobilizing around the country, let alone just in Raleigh and just in North Carolina. And so I want to thank you for the work that you're doing because I think you're saving lives, and that's why I titled the show how, you know, farmers markets can save your life, because by eating locally, you can save your life and that of the farmers as well, economically.
Wonderful.
Thank you
so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Okay.
You
bye-bye.
Too.
Thanks.
Bye. Thank you for joining Get Deep and Keep It Real. Have a great day. And if you have any questions about today's show, don't hesitate to give me a call or visit me on my website. The website is on Facebook, Get Deep and Keep It Real. I'm sorry, I'm having, you know, losing my head here. The website is Get Deep and Keep It Real on Facebook. You can catch us on Twitter, same name, Get Deep and Keep It Real on Twitter. And also on Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Tiffany Camilla on Get Deep and Keep It Real. Have a great day.